Today's gospel is pretty dramatic, and it's actually part two of the gospel that we began last week. So last week we heard part one, and this week is part two. So if you remember last week, we heard how Jesus began his public ministry by going to his hometown synagogue in Nazareth, and he stood up and he read Isaiah's prophecy regarding the Messiah. So this is what Jesus reads in the synagogue. And this is right at the beginning of his public ministry. The first thing he does in Luke's gospel publicly. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord." So that's what he read. And then he sits down, and with everybody staring at him, he says, "This scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." Which is amazing. Because what does that mean? It means that Jesus is telling the people that the one for whom they have waited for hundreds of years, the one announced through the prophets, longed for, yearned for, he is here, and he is it. The anointed one, the Messiah, their Savior. And at first, Jesus' listeners were delighted, and they should have been, because it's such good news, shockingly good news, that's being proclaimed to them. That, I mean, if we read what Jesus says or hear what Jesus says, he says that to all of us who are in poverty and weakness and enslaved, that the one who desires to save us has come in person. That for all of us who struggle from addiction to sin, from evil, from our bodily struggles and mental struggles, the message is that God loves us and he loves the poor, those of us who struggle the most. And he sent salvation and freedom to us in person, in the person of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. So this is really good news. It's good news for us. It's good news for them. And the scripture tells us that all spoke highly of him, and they were amazed at his words. But here's now, so that was last week's gospel. Here we pick up for this week. But the gospel tells us that in the midst of this great approval and delight at what Jesus was saying, a question comes up. And this is the question: isn't this the son of Joseph? So that question might sound simple enough, innocent enough, but Jesus detects in it something evil. He detects in it a word from the enemy, a doubt that Jesus is who he is claiming to be. Jesus was in his hometown synagogue, which means that people would have known him. And he would have known them. They would have known his parents. So when they say, "Isn't this the son of Joseph?" In other words, they're saying, "Don't we know this guy? Don't we know his parents? They're nothing special. Why do we think that he is so special? Why does he think that he is so special? Who does he think he is?" So we see this, Jesus detects this doubt creeping in, this thought planted by the enemy, and he brings it out in the open. So he tells the people gathered there, he says, "You know, the great prophets Elijah and Elisha couldn't work any miracles in Israel because nobody believed. They didn't have faith. So what Jesus is revealing to the people, to his own people sitting right in front of him, is he's revealing that for centuries the people of Israel didn't really have faith. So he reveals their own lack of faith, and what's their response? It makes them so angry. And they're filled with rage. So much so that they rush Jesus out of the synagogue and they rush him up the hill on which the city was built, and they're going to throw him off the cliff. I mean, this is the same one that they were just so excited about moments ago. How quickly their hearts turned against Jesus. So it wasn't yet Jesus's time, so he's able to slip through the crowds. He is God, so he's in complete control at all times of everything that happens to him. So he slips through the crowds. Interestingly, we'll see this same dynamic again on Palm Sunday. At the beginning of Palm Sunday Mass, we'll hear the gospel of how the people of Jerusalem welcomed Jesus when he came into their city. With great excitement, they're waving palm branches at him, which is why we have palm branches at Mass during the opening procession, because of the enthusiasm that the people of Jerusalem welcomed Jesus. But in one day, those same people are going to be in the courtyard in front of the tribunal, and they're going to be shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" So this is a dynamic that we see over and over in the gospel, how quickly our hearts can turn. It's important that we don't read this and simply judge the people of Nazareth or judge the people of Jerusalem like they're uniquely bad. But it's also important that we see in our own heart the capacity to reject God and to reject his love and to reject his invitation. The great theologian Romano Guardini puts it this way. He says, "At the bottom of the human heart, side by side with longing for the eternal source and fulfillment of all things, side by side with longing for the good, lurks resistance to that source, elementary sin in its lair." So we find good desires in our heart, but right next to that we find evil. Evil desires. If we're honest with ourselves, we can see that. So I remember reading this, what I just quoted. I read for the first time when I was in college. I read Romano Guardini's book, The Lord. He's actually talking about this scripture passage that we heard in our gospel. And I remember immediately thinking, this is 20 years ago, but immediately I thought of this time when I was a teenager. And I was hanging out, probably babysitting my youngest brother, and he's probably 2 or 3 years old, and he was so innocent. And for whatever reason, we were I had like a little desk lamp that I had on the desk, and for whatever reason, we were standing there, and he was fascinated by the light which was turned on that desk lamp. And I was struck, I remember this so well. It's probably 13 years old, something like that. And he was fascinated with the light bulb, and he was so sweet and innocent. And I said, "Touch it." And I'll never forget this. He looked at me with his sweet, innocent eyes and put his finger right up to the bulb. And it burnt him, and he burst into tears, and he runs to mom. I must not have been babysitting because mom was downstairs. He runs to mom, tells on me. I got in big trouble, deservedly. But so that was one time where it was just so clear to me that I saw the good, and there was evil in my heart where I wanted to hurt the good. So what do we do about this terrible situation we find ourselves in? This capacity within ourselves to reject the good, to see the good and reject it, to reject God, to reject love. So one of the things that's interesting in this gospel is that, so today, this is the beginning of Jesus' public ministry in Luke's gospel. And immediately after this, if we were to continue reading, immediately after, someone with a demon approaches Jesus and Jesus exorcises the demon. And then the gospel writer tells us that the whole town brings their sick and possessed to Jesus. And he just goes to one by one. He heals the people with diseases and he casts out the demons. One by one by one. Makes it sound like it's hundreds of people. So this is the solution. We have evil within ourselves, and so what? And we have this inclination to reject the good. So what do we need to do? Bring that to Jesus. Exactly the sin that we struggle with, we have to bring it to Jesus. I remember at some point, I don't think it was right away because I don't really think I thought that much about it, but at some point in my life, I confessed making my little brother touch that light bulb. And I felt so much relief at having brought that to Jesus and admitting it and confessing it. It was a huge weight and burden off. So this is what we have to do when we experience the sin in our life, when we experience the evil in our heart, when we find ourselves enslaved and addicted in different ways, we have to keep bringing that to Jesus. So gratefully, we have a place to do this in person, with Jesus in person. That's through the sacrament of reconciliation. He's really there. He's there in person. And that's where we can be freed of all this stuff. And the only tragedy about sin is when it goes unacknowledged, unconfessed, unforgiven. That's the only time that sin is a tragedy. When we bring our sins to Jesus, when we bring that evil that we find in our hearts to Jesus so that he can cast it out, he fills our heart with good. He takes that place that was in need of healing and he fills it with his love and mercy and tenderness. And he changes that place. Now that's a gradual process. It has to happen over and over again in our life if we're going to grow. That's why in Jesus, sin has no power over us. Even though we continue to sin, if we repent and bring it to Jesus, then he puts good there. He begins to redeem us. It's a lifelong process. So today's gospel very starkly presents us two alternatives. The people in the synagogue who, like us, have evil in their hearts, and what do? They reject Jesus. They refuse to admit their lack of faith, and they reject the one who's been sent to them to love and to heal them. And then we have these other people in the gospel who simply bring Jesus the evil so that he can take it away from them. So let's be like those people, acknowledging the evil, acknowledging the sin where we see it, and bringing it to Jesus with confidence, with trust, with love. There's no tragedy in sin if we allow Jesus to heal it, forgive it, redeem it.